Hello, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Suns, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, I'm your host, Evan Setter. I'm joined by my co-host, Brandon Kling. We're coming to you live from inside the media room here at Talking Super Resort Arena following the conclusion of today's open practice slash scrimmage slash whatever you want to call it, because it was kind of – we didn't expect what we were going to see. We didn't think we'd see a scrimmage, but it was a 20-minute scrimmage. Lasted. It was open clock, so really the only time it stopped was when timeouts were taken. I think two or three were taken, so – it was really a fast process, nothing much to take away from today, but I think the main takeaway from my point of view was just that obviously installation's going good and all, but it's going to take a while for these guys to get used to the system because it's very detailed.
Well, one of the things I think that can get caught up, because everybody sounds confident, right? Like we talked to Mikal Bridges and he was like, yeah, you play within yourself, it's free-flowing, you just make the right decision. And I think that it's something that empowers individual players to like do what they know how to do. Everybody knows how to take an open shot. Everybody knows how to make the right pass, or, you know, that can be taught. It's not a complicated concept, but everything that's happening within the course of one play, the way that Kokoschkov draws things up, makes it complicated. So each individual person doesn't have a struggle doing their job necessarily, but when you see it all together like we did today, you realize like the intricacies of how everybody's supposed to be doing their individual jobs all at the same time kind of complicates things. Like you saw people running into each other and clog spacing and just what you hope doesn't happen in the season, but it's not there yet.
It's kind of an easy point to make, but basketball is a team sport, and if one person messes up, the entire system's going to really fall apart.
Yeah, I think, not to keep harping on the point guard thing, but that doesn't help, right? Like, that's the guy who makes everybody's life easier, ideally. The person who brings the ball up the court, they were being pretty vocal. I thought the guys individually, when we saw, I think the majority of the time it was Melton and Shaq Harrison who were, it seemed like to me, had the most minutes. They didn't keep stats or anything, so it's not like we can reference that, but it kind of seemed like those are the two guys I noticed most. And they were being vocal. They were getting people where they needed to be. They were making the right decisions for the most part. There was a lot of end-of-clock stuff that was kind of weird where things didn't develop quickly enough, and then somebody was just chucking up a shot at the end.
Yeah, a lot of standing around sometimes, too.
Yeah, a lot of, from the other guys especially. The point guard had the ball, and no one's making themselves open. So I think you just see it here and there where it is a work in progress.
Yeah, and I guess going more into the scrimmage from today, who was your main takeaway as far as players? Because obviously, like you mentioned, there was no stats. We can't like let you guys know what the numbers were. It's kind of hard to keep track without the box score numbers. But I think a couple guys that flashed to me at least was Davon Reed. I think he looked pretty good. He brought up him and Josh Jackson both had the green light to bring up the ball on half-court situation, which I found really interesting. I know me and you have referenced in the past that Davon Reed, in his pre-draft workout, he was the primary initiator in that workout, so maybe he does have some secret playmaking ability that Ewer's going to expose. But Josh Jackson also looked really good as far as alley-oops to DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton looked really good cleaning up the glass and really finishing a lot of the time. So kind of a situation in it really today where the guys that you expected to do good did do good.
Yeah, I think Ayton, the more you see of him, you saw even more than I have, it's clear what his role is going to be. He's not going to be what he was at Arizona or anything even close to that. He's not going to be, you know, what Joel Embiid was for the Sixers last year, where you're just dumping the ball and you're saying, you know, score 30 and we'll win. It's not going to be like that for him. And I think that's good. I mean, at least he's buying into it. So you know that there's a plan there. You know that he's doing stuff he's already good at. So I think the worry if you try to make him into Karl Anthony Towns as a rookie is like, he's not going to do well. Like, you know he can't do that right now, so why ask him to? I think that's a positive sign. Two lobs from Jackson were just cool, and obviously with the fans all there, that was like the most fun moment.
Yeah.
But the guy I was going to say, we needed like a massive drum roll. Nobody's going to expect me to say this, but it was Dragan Bender. I thought he came out and he was just playing with energy, and in a scrimmage like that, it just stands out. You know, like you were saying, some guys were standing around. There was some cluelessness. Just to have a guy like Shaq Harrison, DeAndre Ayton, Dragan Bender, the three guys I think to me who stood out the most with their energy, it was just good to see. Bender drove and then had a bounce pass into the middle to Tyson Chandler, who had a dunk. That was nice. He switched it, or he hedged out on a pick and roll that Davon Reed ran, and then the guy guarding Reed, I don't remember who it was, got kind of caught behind Reed, caught up on the screen, and Bender recovered and smacked his layup out of bounds. And those kinds of blocks get him so fired up. Like, like every six games, you'll just see any just volleyball smashes a ball out of bounds, and he's like, yeah. But it's that kind of stuff that he needs to do. So I think that was nice to see.
Yeah, Dragan, I really haven't seen him play with much energy since he's been a Phoenix Sun. So if he's an energy guy all of a sudden, then that's a really good change for him. And I think we were talking about before the scrimmage even started, but what do you think Dragan's role is this year? I know we touched on it a little bit before on the pods and previous days and weeks, but when you see him mingle with Ryan Anderson, he's obviously learning from the guy. So a year from now, do you think if all goes well in his development that they're not going to decline his team option, but yet he might be a guy, if all goes well in his development under Igor, that could be taking Anderson's spot next year?
Yeah, I think that's the thinking when you have Anderson. He negotiated that smaller salary for next year, created the flexibility for them to move on from him a little bit more painlessly if they want to, if they feel comfortable doing that. So, I mean, I think that's the hope. I'm excited to see what Bender does next to Ayton. I think we were talking about yesterday a little bit the possibility that Bender doesn't play a ton, and I hope that's not the case. But I mean, it's the writing's on the wall to a certain degree with that. But I think that he's a guy that we've been saying all summer could really benefit from Kokoschka. And I think it seems like Kokoschka is not going to tolerate guys who aren't playing with energy. And so it's going to be a really easy indicator, right? If Bender especially is somebody who struggled with that so much, if he continues to struggle, I think the decision is kind of made there about what, at least for this season, what his role is going to look like. But I mean, do you want to move on to what Kokoschka said and kind of get into that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Igor, we had to wait a while for him to talk, but it seems like the main thing for them is still installation and really all the intricate things that go into a training camp, because Igor did mention they're going to treat pieces and just like that. It's going to be just like how they treat Flagstaff. It's going to be another day of training camp for them. So don't expect them to really care about wins and losses in preseason. So a lot of minutes for all 17, 18 guys. It's going to be a lot of different rotations, a lot of experimenting, he said. So what's your expectations through this preseason now? Because now we really shouldn't expect them to like blow the doors off anyone now, because now we're going to be seeing a lot more minutes for these guys in a lot of different combinations.
Yeah, I think that's good for just the competition of a young team. I feel like that's been what the last two coaches said too, is that it's going to be, nothing is just assumed. The fact that you were picked high or got traded for or a bigger contract than other guys isn't going to dictate it, but we've seen it kind of happen that way sometimes still, where a guy who is a veteran or a higher draft pick just kind of default gets the minutes. So it seems like that is a little bit of a change. We know who's going to get a lot of minutes, but lower down the roster, I think that really is going to be more of a competition. Kokoschkov said when asked about the point guard, how he's going to handle that in preseason, he said 2.5 point guards. So he's going to kind of from night to night focus on two guys with a third guy spotting, kind of playing and when needed. But he's not going to try to have all four guys, not sure what's going to be happening night to night, and they're going to know kind of what the plan is. So I think that's good. I think it's going to make it so that there's just an expectation there and everybody knows what's going on. And I think we'll see that in the preseason, that it's not just going to be, like you said, 32 minutes a night for the starters and then everybody's just cast to the side.
Yeah, I think guys like Ayton and Jackson are going to be playing maybe 15 to 25 minutes per game at most, I imagine.
Yeah, I think it'll be similar to summer league, right? I mean, that's kind of what we saw then.
Yeah, I think summer league minutes make a lot of sense. But as far as another topic goes, the point guard situation, how do you think this is going to shake out in the preseason now? Because they have Cannon, Melton, and all these other guys that need minutes. And obviously, Cannon's on non-guaranteed deal, so he could be cut by the end of preseason. But I think when Igor mentioned experimenting and trying to figure out what they got, this preseason action is going to let them know if they need to make a trade or not. Because if they do, if they look how they did today, which some of them kind of didn't know what they were doing, it looked like at some points, they have to make a trade at some point if it's going to be like that.
Yeah, I think we saw kind of, at least to me, I think I saw the good and nothing surprised me. Like, I saw the good and bad of all the guys. I didn't really, nothing jumped out, but Shaq Harrison had incredible on-ball defense. I think he created two or three steals just in the 20-minute scrimmage, and that's what you expect from him. De'Anthony Melton, we only saw one jumper. That's the big
– It looked kinda, good, though.
It did look good. The form looked better. It wasn't as much of, like, an elbows-out push as it kind of sometimes looked like at USC. And I think Okobo – it looked a lot like he did in summer league, where there's moments on offense where you're like, wow, he just has such great feel. And then he just gets stopped completely on a screen on the other end, or, loses track of the play. And you're like, okay, well, he's a 19-year-old guy who, got picked 2 months ago to be in the NBA, and that's what you expect a little bit.
Yeah, it's a little mixture of just veteran guys and all these young guys. It's going to be really interesting to see how the point guard situation falls, but I guess I'd be remiss not to talk about it because I know a lot of people have been tweeting me and also Brightside, also you, asking about TJ Warren's jumper because I know they hyped up a media day about how TJ's jumper has looked, and I've been asked before in the past few days how it's looked. They've been keeping it kind of a secret from us, I think, because at training camp, I did not see one single TJ Warren jumper. And then at camp today, at the scrimmage, they can pretty much count it as camp today, but no TJ Warren jumper either. There was not even a jump shot from him. It was just a cleanup off a layup. So how do you think TJ's getting acclimated to this system? And obviously, he's looks a little lost at times. I mean, obviously, he's not a passer, so it's going to take him some time. But I think the jumper, we were touching on before he got on the air, but them kind of hiding the jumper for me is kind of curious.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think today the one thing to keep into consideration is just that the veterans all were really more like parts of the engine rather than what we'll probably see them doing, taking open shots and driving to the rim. They were just keeping the ball moving. Yeah. Ryan Anderson would catch it from behind the arc and just immediately go into a dribble handoff to get another guy going toward the rim. He wasn't focused on getting his shot off. So maybe that was a similar thing with Warren, where he didn't have the mentality of, like, I need to come out here and do my thing because, you know, he's a fifth-year player in the league. But it is weird to not see it once. And there were a couple instances where he did catch the ball behind the arc, and it was going to be a contested shot, but it was also a scrimmage, so take it if you feel comfortable. And so, you know, you don't know what to buy into too much, but it is funny that one of the biggest takeaways from Media Day, which was they all were talking up his shot, and a week later, we still haven't seen it once.
Yeah, hopefully that changes on Monday or throughout the preseason, because that's something that's, like you said, a big story from Media Day, and we still haven't been able to see it yet. But anything else from today's scrimmage that you want to talk about?
No, I don't think so. I'm excited for the preseason. Today made me more excited to see what it actually looks like on the court. We said it'll be a work in progress, but it's still completely brand new, and I'm just excited to see who picks it up, what it looks like, and where it goes from here.
For sure. And just to let you guys know, we are recording this on Saturday. It'll be dropping on Monday, so we will not have a recap episode for the Kings preseason game on Monday. It'll be on Tuesday. And then from there, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, as you guys know, we are back into a five-day schedule. So Monday through Friday, Locked On Suns will be back in your airways. Appreciate you guys listening in. We'll be back with you guys on Monday for our next episode.